Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm John Jacob Schmidt, broadcasting from the Free Zones in Eastern Washington and North Idaho, and streaming outside the AM coverage area and outside the wire, spreading the message deep into occupied America as a message of hope and encouragement and inspiration to the frustrated and the brokenhearted over what's happening to our nation. You're not alone. My name is your name, too. And there is an army of tens of thousands of John Jacob Schmidts. Welcome to our new listeners and listening, in the Spokane Valley, in the greater Spokane area and North Idaho. Great to have you with us. Thank you for helping to spread the word among your like-minded friends, family, fellow patriots. Just so that you know, we are also on live streaming right now, and you can get to that by going to Radio Free Redoubt, redoubt.com, www.radiofreeredoubt.com. Click on the blue and white banner on the right side there, labeled the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and that will take you to a page where you can listen to live stream. There's a link there for the live streaming. There's also information about the app, so you can download to your mobile device and tune in to the LBS or Liberty Broadcasting System app. And also, several of you have asked, how can we listen to these if we're not available to listen on Saturday? We got something else going on, or just simply forget. Well, you shouldn't be forgetting about Radio Free Redoubt, but you have a chance to redeem yourself in case you do. You can go to our website there at Radio Free Redoubt, and all of our previous podcasts and broadcasts are uploaded to Podbean, and that's there's links. There are links from our website that will take you right there. And that also includes the regular Sunday evening podcasts, going on 4 years now. So we are growing, and it is because of you and because of your overwhelming support. We ask for your continued support and especially your prayers. We need wisdom. We need courage, and we just need covering. So thank you. Today, we've got several things in store, but we're going to really focus on two main things. We're going to cover the news and commentary in just a second, but we have a guest coming on that's going to help us continue with the topic that we started last week. We're going to continue the discussion of the threat of Islam from somebody who has an inside perspective. It's a very special guest, great friend. I'll introduce him in the second segment, and then we're going to open up the phone lines in segment three so you can ask questions that you have, because there is, once again, there's confusion even among the body of believers as far as where should we stand on our views on this obvious threat of Islamization in our country. Now, we're going to try to get this wrapped up this week. This will be kind of a part two to the threat to Islam in America, because there are several other issues that are very important that we need to be getting to. Our values, obviously, are under assault. We have a situation now where the government is considering moving toward, and this is what we can see on the radar, moving toward mandatory vaccinations. And that's a problem. And we need to educate we need to have information, because it is confusing, isn't it? As parents, you're irresponsible if you don't vaccinate, or you're irresponsible if you do because they harm your children. We want to get to the truth of that. So we're going to be doing that in the coming weeks. A lot of property rights issues going on. So we're going to get to all of that and more. But first, the news and commentary where we talk about issues that could and very likely will or are affecting you as God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots. Now the pagans must be dancing in the streets in Oregon from Salem to Portland. If you haven't been following the news there, the governor, after being accused of steering government contracts to his fiance's environmental consulting business, lots of accusations there about corruption. He has finally decided to resign. Not a big surprise coming out of Oregon, which is basically on the west side of the mountains, there is occupied territory, as those of you living there who are patriots can affirm. Well, the reason why they're celebrating right now is because Oregon is about to get the nation's very first ever LGBT governor. Female, self-proclaimed bisexual, is going to be stepping up into the executive position of headship over the state of Oregon. So for those of you in the patriots living in Oregon, our prayers are with you. You're going to need it. All kinds of stuff going on in Oregon, lots of rumblings. There's word now also that the State Defense Force, which is kind of a non-federal funded portion of their... Well, in Oregon, they have three different branches for their security, and that's the National Guard, the Air National Guard, and the State Defense Forces. Word has it that that is going to be disbanded. That is the only branch that does not fall under federal control. So kind of interesting. We're going to be following that. Little close to home. Matter of fact, right here from the studio that we're broadcasting from this morning in Spokane, Mike Fagan is a true patriot. He is the only patriot on the city council. And it's interesting that they're trying to oust him. Well, they've been trying for a long time. They would just love for him to go away. And the local media is helping. Their headline reads, what was this? City council asks Mike Fagan to resign over vaccine view. He made some comments about questioning vaccines in Spokane County. So he is also on this health board. They're saying if he doesn't change his views or at least clarify his stance on vaccinations, they want to ask him to be removed from this health board. But the local news media would make you think that they're trying to completely remove him altogether and asking him to resign. So it's very misleading. And, well, that shouldn't be surprising either because, well, the media is very much involved with the left-wing agenda. You guys heard this week Alabama is to issue homosexual licenses. That was the order. Well, Chief Justice Roy Moore said he's ordering all probate judges to not comply with this order. So this whole thing is just busted wide open. And they basically issued a statement or statements of refusal. And they say they will uphold the state constitution. These are justices in Alabama. This very same thing happened in Idaho, but only the leadership in Idaho caved, sadly, sad to say. Because the very next morning, the governor and... Oh, what's the other one? Doggone it. I just did this. Not prosecuting attorney. I'll think of it in a minute. Both of them turned right around and ordered the county clerks to begin issuing homosexual so-called marriage licenses the following morning. Well, they're standing their ground in Alabama. Also, on this note, before I forget, remember last week when I covered the couple in Oregon with the bakery who has just been found at fault and face $150,000 fees to be paid to this lesbian couple who wanted them to bake a cake. Well, they are going to be in the safe zones. They are going to be in Coeur d'Alene at Candlelight Fellowship. This couple has been invited there by Pastor Paul Van Noy from Candlelight Fellowship. He is another patriot that has been in the fight for religious liberty in North Idaho. They have invited this couple to speak tomorrow, Sunday. So if you want to get in here, get in front of these people and hear their testimony and find a way to support them too. They are facing a $150,000 fine that they have to pay to this lesbian couple for not participating in something that violates their moral conscience. This is unconscionable. Amazing. Now, I got a listener letter. John Jacob, I have to say I am of a very heavy heart this morning. The citizens of my state in Alabama voted 81% in favor of a constitutional ban on homosexual marriage back in 2006. I don't use the word gay because there is nothing happy about it. As you can imagine, a single federal judge struck it down and the marriages start today. In a million years, I never would have considered Alabama to be outside the wire, but here we are, occupied territory. Please keep us in your prayers. Now, thank you for sharing that sentiment, and you, once again, you're not alone. And here, let me give you a little bit more encouragement. You are not in occupied territory. You are in Alabama. 81% of the people voted to protect and preserve marriage the way God intended, just like the people in Idaho did. So just because somebody fires a mortar round at you over the perimeter into your camp doesn't mean you're occupied. It means you're under attack. So pray for these justices to dig their heels in deep and fight and find the resolve down in them to fight and resist this. And there are many, many other patriots that are just feel the same crushing blow to their spirit when they see this agenda moving forward. And let me remind you of another thing, too. This spring, the Supreme Court is supposed to be making a final ruling on their stance on homosexual marriage in the United States. That right there is going to, if they uphold it as a nationwide so-called law ruling, we can expect in very short order thereafter a body slam to the United States. I believe that God's judgment will just be, his hand will completely be removed from our country, and the enemies that have been wanting a piece of us for a long time are going to be allowed, and they will prevail. So we really, really need to be praying. This is spiritual warfare, and we just need his protection, even if only for his remnant, which is why God-fearing patriots are gathering into the American Redoubt right now. Just incredible. Well, let's see. The Department of Homeland Security, they set up hotlines for illegal immigrants who claim they've been mistreated by the Border Patrol or federal government. Isn't that great? What a slap in the face to our guys that are on the line down there trying to keep our border safe. Oh, and now they can get tax refunds even if they've never paid into the system. Illegal immigrants can now file tax refund returns and qualify for tax refunds for all their children. Here's a little bit of good news. The American Redoubt states made the news in a Gallup poll. Mississippi rates the most conservative state after polling the citizens of all of the states. Mississippi came in number one, but Idaho, you're at number two. And Wyoming came in number four. Montana, 26. Well, they've got some really strong leftist pockets over there. They're really fighting it out. 41% of the people in Montana, which is the majority of the people with all the different categories, said, yeah, we're the most conservative. Speaking of Montana, though, we've got some good news here. A state Senate committee hearing Friday drew over a dozen speakers from the Flathead Valley supporting a bill that would restrict the use of foreign laws in Montana courts. That's right. It would nullify any court, arbitration, or administrative agency ruling that relies on any foreign law, such as Islam, contrary to the rights guaranteed to the Montanans or the state or U.S. constitutions. This is what it comes down to right here. There are 13 states now that have passed laws against Sharia law. And last week when I was talking about this, I was saying, you know, maybe we should ban Islam. I got a letter from somebody who said, I want to say to you, you're amazing. I want to say, you know, thank you. You're doing some amazing work. Thank you for doing a great job of what you do, and I pray for the cause. However, I want to make you aware that I'm a little concerned on your statements this last show about Islam. While I agree that it is bad and horrible and is a huge issue, you made the statement that if banning Islam, I truly believe that that is the wrong approach. In the heat of conversation, it's easy to say they would want nothing more than to ban all other religions. Talking about Islam. Now, keep in mind, in no way do I propose banning all other religions. The Muslims ultimately want that. When juxtaposed with Christianity, when you put the two side by side, there is no comparison. Islam is antithetical. It is hostile and confrontational to America and American principles and the foundation, the Christian foundation that America was built on, biblical principles. They cannot coexist. They are in complete conflict and as compatible with each other as oil and water. Now, this country was formed on that freedom of religion. Now, remember, it was founded on the religion, the freedom to worship Christ as dictated by one's own conscience. These guys were all Christians. And the listener goes on to say, while they are a huge issue and a threat, we cannot sacrifice the values or morals of our foundation. We cannot ban them. That would make us no better. If we allow Islam to take a foothold, then we are sacrificing our values and our morals. The listener also brings up the Crusades, that was wrong. If we want to succeed, we must do as Christ would do and teach them and guide them and enlighten them. They must have a free choice to accept Christ or not. Christ would not ban them from his presence. Okay, that's not true. Now, you guys that are regular listeners, you know my heart. You know that I approach this with humility, but I also want to speak truth in love. This is so important because we have a deception that is creeping into the church right now. Jesus said in Joshua 5, Jesus approached Joshua. He appeared as a warrior, as the commander of the Lord's army to Joshua. He said, take the city of Jericho that's full of Canaanites. They've established their king as a god that's full of sexual immorality of every type, including sacrificing of children. These people are so beyond saving, and they've so permeated the land. Go and take him out. And in the future, they were told, do not intermarry with these people, or it'll bring their religion, their false gods, their satanic influenced religion into your people and your culture, and it will undermine you. And sure enough, that's what happened when they didn't follow the rules. God commanded these cultures to be completely removed from the land as a protection against his people. Otherwise, they would adopt and embrace these abominable religions and all their practices. Yes, we should try to win Muslims over. We should pray for them. Absolutely. But when they come for your head, when they come for your children and your women, or when they're trying to displace your entire heritage and culture with one that was inspired by Satan, you have a duty to resist it, even ban it. Now, as far as the Crusades go, that's another revisionist history topic that we can cover in the future. Islam had dominated the whole area, the Mediterranean. They had raped, pillaged, plundered, and burned. They took children as slaves. They took the wives. Well, they did horrible things. And they castrated the boys so they could use them as eunuchs. They took millions of slaves. They took areas that were dominated by Christianity. Heavily, you know, overwhelming majority Christian areas, which the Christians basically were extinguished from those areas, taken over by Islam. They were on their way into Europe. They were marching into Europe, and the Crusades stopped it. We would not have America today. We wouldn't have Europe today if it weren't for the Crusades to stop the advancement of this Islamic slaughter. They had complete intentions of taking over and dominating Europe. They have intentions in taking us over as well. There's a lot more that we're going to cover on this. We've got numbers, we've got statistics, we've got history on our side. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Greece is failing, and a new House bill has passed in Washington State that is prepping your credit unions for bank runs. This is your Eye on the Economy Minute, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. The game of words continue this week for Greece following reports both yesterday and today during debt talks. First Germany and then Greece would make a compromise. And then later, in the case of Greece, they said they would do whatever they can to reach a financial deal. However, after exiting the financial talks, Eurogroup President Joran Dijsselbloem made the comment to Reuters this week that, quote, "I'm still very pessimistic about reaching a deal now." A new House bill has been passed in Washington State. HB 1062 is designed to change the laws that govern credit unions in Washington State. HB 1062 has some very suspicious language in it that, quote, "Upon a written finding, the director of a credit union may temporarily suspend or restrict withdrawals of deposit in a credit union." These are the stories that we are following and more. Listen each weekend for more economic analysis from myself, Fox 519, on Radio Free Redoubt.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Now, before we went into the break, I was just getting warmed up because I got so many notes in front of me. I have so much historical references to go to and to talk about. And you know what? There was an article that somebody sent to me by a well-known patriot pastor that I have looked up to over the years. But he just wrote a piece, and in it he wrote, "Christians who are constantly fear-mongering against Muslim people are playing right into the hands of the globalists who are using the people of different faiths and cultures to inflame hatred and violence. We have far more to fear from Washington, D.C. Okay, hold on a second here. You're right. We do need to fear Washington, D.C. and the tyranny, the machine that's rising up out of that. But don't forget, that whole White House is being purged right now, replaced with Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim sympathizers, if not Muslim himself, the president. We're not fear-mongering, sir. So I'm hard on pastors. I'm really hard because they're the gatekeepers. They're supposed to be the shepherds. They're supposed to be protecting the flock. And we've got from the pulpit telling us we shouldn't defend ourselves. We shouldn't stand up against Islam. We should be passive about it. They're inviting Islam into the churches, imams, to speak about this. There is a trend that you can see. Islam passes in phases. Before we bring my good friend on, I want to remind you that Islam and banning Islam is not un-American. Islam is un-American. Islam is not a religion. It is not a cult. Islam is a total 100% system of life consisting of religious, legal, political, economic, social, and military components. It is as anti-American as you can get. This makes communism pale in comparison. And we're going to talk about that from somebody who's been there and done that. Just because you went on a guided tour to Israel does not make you this cultured, aware person that can speak with authority on where we should stand and what our policy should be, especially as the church, as believers, toward Islam. Well, it's my great honor and pleasure to talk, to bring a great friend of mine and a guest that's so knowledgeable about this topic, and he has a lot of material and so much to offer. I don't want to waste any more time with that. Pastor Shahram Hadian from Truth in Love Ministries. Sir, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. You sound really good coming through. Thank you for joining us on Radio Free Redoubt. Great to have you with us again.
It's great to be with you.
Okay, let's go back to this letter that somebody wrote that banning Islam is unconstitutional and un-American. Let's just start there. What is your take on that?
Well, I've heard that many times, and I think it's one of the larger challenges that we face in dealing with the issue of Islam. Coming from my background of being born into Islam, I was born in Iran, and then becoming a Christian 15 years ago, follower of Christ. What I witnessed, John Jacob, in Iran, was that when Islam came and took over in 1979, after the revolution, they instituted an Islamic government. That was one of the key things they had to do, was to institute a constitution that was based on Sharia law, Islamic law.
Yes.
So I've witnessed this in my birth country. So I'm speaking from experience of 35 years, what Iran has gone through under Islamic law. And the argument over here is we cannot ban Sharia because it violates the First Amendment. And, of course, if you remember the case in Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, that the legislature passed a law that specifically mentioned Sharia, then the governor signed it, it went to a vote of the people, over 70% of the people in Oklahoma approved that constitutional amendment banning Sharia law, and one judge, as we see like with the marriage situation that you've been talking about, one judge comes and strikes it down and says you cannot do that because it violates the First Amendment. What I will point out is that Sharia law actually violates the First Amendment. The opposite is true. Instead of us saying banning Sharia violates the First Amendment, Sharia law itself violates all five sections of the First Amendment.
Yes.
There is no freedom of religion. There is no freedom of speech. There is no freedom of press. There is no freedom of assembly. And there is no freedom of grievances in Islam. When Sharia law is implemented fully and it is governing, and you said it very well, it is a totalitarian system. I think the biggest challenge we have is that we are trying to divide Sharia into religious and political. We are trying to do that. We're trying to say, well, let's let them have their religious components, but as long as they don't follow their political components, their military, their legal codes. The problem is, John Jacob, for the Muslim, they can't do that. They're right. Commanded to obey all of Sharia. There yes. is no separation for them. And so we're trying to do something they can't do. They either have to live by Sharia or they're not Muslims. And that's what we are having a hard time understanding here in America, because we want to believe that we're somehow being nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it very well in your monologue. If we allow Sharia to fester, there will be no founding principles. They're gone.
Yeah.
Period. And that's why Sharia has to be banned specifically. And even these American laws for American courts that I support, by the way, I was in Boise Idaho, at state capitol, last year trying to push this. In Washington State here, where I'm from, we've been trying to push this. But they don't go far enough, because you're not naming it specifically. And as long as we allow them to what we think is separation, we're losing the game. We're losing the battle. And it is un-American to allow it to fester. That's what's un-American.
Well, what I've often said is the fastest way, the best way to thoroughly lose a fight is to not realize you're in one. And I don't think that people understand the magnitude of the fight that we're in. And the other thing, too, is that there are people that argue, well, not all Muslims believe in Sharia law. You know, they want to live peacefully. But as we've seen, and this is not theory. This is the thing. We're not talking about theory here. There's real world cases of country after country after country. We're seeing the fall of Europe right now. It's systematic and it's deliberate. And we could make this actually a 3-hour show so easily. There's so much. Right. We're just scratching the surface. But they do this in phases. And so at a certain point, they are peaceful. And then as their numbers incrementally increase, so does their aggressiveness toward the institution of ultimately Islamization. And so once you get to that point, and the Muslims, once they reach that 40 to 60% Islam in a culture, those who are still passive aren't real Muslims. They're either punished or they get on board and they become more extreme or mainstream for Sharia. But right. They become more hostile or they're punished. They're killed themselves for not being true good Muslims.
Absolutely. And that's a great point that you just made. That's why ISIS, you know, Obama claims that ISIS is not Islamic because they're killing Muslims. Well, Mr. Obama needs to have a history lesson in Islam, because he's trying to be a good Muslim and he's not looking at his own sources. The fact is that this throughout Islam's history, from the time of Muhammad moving forward and into the time of their caliphs, they have killed Christians and Muslims alike because, as you said, the Muslims that are so-called moderate, lukewarm, in the middle, wishy-washy, they themselves, when the call of Islam comes, and this is a concept that people don't understand about Islam, that there are two houses of Islam, that there's a early house that live by the early verses, and there's a latter house called Dar al-Islam that it's the latter house when they gain up the upper hand. And usually the upper hand actually doesn't come when they have the majority of the population. It comes way before that because they think that, according to the Muslim Brotherhood in America, they estimate that if they had 8% of the population, they would have the upper hand.
Yes.
And so we have to understand that when they get to the final house, those middle-of-the-road Muslims have to make a choice as well. And
yep.
If they're in the way, they will get killed. And we don't understand this. We don't understand that it's not us who's declared war on Islam. It is Islam and the Prophet of Islam from his own words that says Allah has commanded him to declare war on anybody until they testify that there's no God but Allah and his Prophet Muhammad. So my question to you is, in America, do we plan on testifying to that? If we don't, Islam is at war with us, the ideology, not the average Muslim, but the ideology. And if we don't get that, we will continue to go down this road.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, and you and I have talked about this many times, the reason we're in this road is because we have rejected our God, our foundation,
yeah.
our heritage. And this is a consequence. The issue of abortion has caused the judgment. The issue of allowing homosexuality is causing judgment. Those are all things that are playing into God removing his hand. And time again, when Israel did this in the scriptures, the enemies came in and ravaged the land, occupied. And the only time, John Jacob, that they were able to reverse course was when they truly turned back to the foundation under the God of the Bible, and that's the only way they were able to purge their enemies.
And what happened when they tolerated the Canaanites, the Amalekites, when they tolerated those religions? What happened to their culture?
It destroyed it. It brought further and further judgment but from God, because inevitably it intermingled, and the people of God, the Israelites that were supposed to be pure to God, became tainted, became perverted. And that's what we see happening in our churches today in America. We're trying to become like the world. We're trying to intermingle with the world and the ways of the world. And now you have a church, and you know, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 13 years, but just like you, I will speak the truth and love about any church leader, any pastor who is not standing on the Word of God. And that's what we're seeing today, is that our nation, and particularly our churches, we're intermingling with the world. We're losing our identity in this nation of what God has called us to be. I believe America is supposed to be the city on a hill. I believe America is supposed to be a light to the nations, but we've lost our heritage. And Islam, and I've said this publicly too, and I know I get attacked for it, Islam is a part of that judgment. Islam is God is using it as a hand to turn us and wake us up. And if we don't, it will continue to go forward.
I was just going to say, I really look how fast we've seen Islam accelerate in America, how quickly in the world and in Europe, how this is sweeping the world right now. And I'm not a prophet, but I would not be surprised if this homosexual ruling from the Supreme Court this spring, I think the floodgates will open. It will stun America how fast Islam is going to across the rest of Europe and begin spreading in America if they make that ruling.
Absolutely. And can I mention one more quick thing? I'm not sure how much time we have before the break, but this is something that I've said, because in the last month and a half, you've seen signals from the Obama White House, starting back in December when they declared that there is no evidence that the Muslim Brotherhood has denounced its decades-long commitment to nonviolence. I mean,
yes.
Come on. That is one of the most ridiculous statements. You have Egypt and the United Arab Emirates that are labeling the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, and we have the Obama White House that's saying, no, they're our friends, they're not terrorists, there's
in
no
fact,
evidence.
Didn't he just have, 12 or 13?
Yeah.
Of the Muslim Brotherhood from Egypt at the White House, correct?
Correct. The very members of the Muslim Brotherhood that are outcast from Egypt, that their members have been arrested in Egypt, including Morsi, who was the president there, including El-Shatter, who was number two. You have 15 members of the Brotherhood meet at the White House and with the State Department in the last few weeks here in America. Then 2 days after they meet, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt declares a statement publicly that we have now entered the final phase, and they've called for, quote, a long, uncompromising jihad that includes martyrdom. They have signaled they're going to the final phase of their jihad. What was said in that meeting in the White House? What was said in the meeting in the State Department that gave them that confidence to go and say what they're saying and saying we're entering the next phase? I believe, John Jacob, that they have entered the next phase in America. They got some sort of a signal from this president that said, we got your back, we got you covered, you go for it. And I agree with what you're saying. You're going to see a marked increase in the aggression of Islam. They're going to be much more open and bold. They're not going to be hiding behind this peaceful Islam anymore, this early phases.
Right.
You're going to see a movement towards the latter house where they're going to be in your face. They're going to be rioting in the streets. They're going to be blocking the streets off like they are in Europe. Everything we saw in Europe, we're going to see here, but faster. It's happening faster because America as a nation is supposed to be under the God of the Bible, and we have rejected him, and we're still turning from him, and we're going to get it. But listen, the whole point is, why does God bring that judgment? Not for our destruction, but for our turning. He loves us. He wants us to turn back to him, and unless we do that, we're going to continue. But Sharia must be banned. And I believe it's, you know, I don't care that these judges rule unconstitutionally, one judge. We must push for not just any foreign law. We must specifically ban Sharia law. And I know people are going to be angry about that, but we're going to have to make a choice. Either our constitution, our way of life, or theirs. There's no compromise. There's no middle ground for them.
Well,
it's not us, it's them.
What we're going to do is
will not compromise.
We're going to find ourselves in the name of taking the higher ground and accepting them until the point where we're going to reach in the history books, are going to look back and see that we were violated, dominated, destroyed, raped, and pillaged. And then we're going to say, never again. And it's just the watchman on the wall all through history when they tried sounding the alarm. They were ignored. They were ridiculed. They were chastised. You know, we've got to, and I appreciate your stance, especially as a pastor, because we've got this mentality creeping into the church from the pulpit, you know, saying, well, you know, Christianity was bad. We did do the Crusades, and we've got Christians buying into that. And then also basically challenging with, you know, would Jesus ban Islam? What's your take on that? Would he?
Jesus would command us to pray for the Muslims.
Yes.
Jesus would command us to share the gospel with them. But Jesus would command us to not yoke with Islam. That's what he would say. So in our nation, in our laws cannot be yoked with Islam. So if we allow Sharia to continue, we're yoking with Islam. We're going to merge, just like Europe is fighting right now with countries that have Sharia courts in them, and the Muslims are demanding their laws. By the way, we have our first tribunal, right, in Texas. The first tribunal, Islamic court tribunal, that they're allowing to have in Texas, which
yes.
is exactly how it started in Europe.
Yep.
Oh, it's only voluntary. I believe Jesus would tell us, pray for them, share the gospel, be bold, pray that they would come out of this darkness that is Islam, this demonic ideology, John Jacob. And listen, I came out of it. I've witnessed it in Iran. I know people will attack me saying, oh, you're a hater, you're a bigot. It doesn't matter. We are commanded to share the truth and love. And Islam is a spirit that is of the enemy. It destroys people. But what he would also tell us is don't yoke with it.
Amen.
When we allow
hey, we got to take a break. We got to take
law,
a break.
We're yoking.
Stand by one. We'll be right back. We're with Pastor Hadian talking about the Islamic threat to America. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of
every
history.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
to
have
change
a
the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. Communists set out to brainwash the people.
Do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
Hey, this is Kim Jong. Your country no good to make friend. Why turn off the internet? I was trying to watch interview on the YouTube.
And this is Vladimir Putin. What's happening for oil prices? Not so good for ruble. I'm hoping I don't find out you guys is involved.
Maybe you need to go prepperrecon.com, check it out, supply store, in case somebody turn off your internet.
These things happen.
They have a so good concealed carry sling with patches more cool than a Dennis Rodman.
And having MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits with IBD, chest seal, quick clot, tourniquet, EMT shears, and much more. Even when I don't wear a shirt, I having IFAC from Prepper Recon with me.
So go to PrepperRecon.com and click store tab on the top of the home page.
While you still can.
Hey everyone, this is Glenn Tate. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt and John Jacob Schmidt. His name is my name too.
Coming at you at the Voice of the American Redoubt with hard-hitting truth. We're not pulling any punches here because we are facing existential threats that we must stand together on, and we are doing that. If you're joining us late, we are with Pastor Sharam Hadian from Truth in Love Ministries. Former Muslim, became a born-again Christian. Now he is a pastor, ordained minister, and he's speaking truth, and the people in the church are being lied to. The phone lines are open, 1-877-999-7684. Matter of fact, we've got several calls. Thank you guys for your patience. By the way, called in a little bit early and just sitting by and listening. I want to remind you, too, please turn your radios down or if you're live streaming because we have a delay there, and that's just going to – it doesn't work out very well. So go ahead and remember to do that. Remember, you can also email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Our website is radiofreeredoubt.com. So that's pretty simple, easy to remember. And like us on Facebook. We appreciate you guys doing that and helping spread the word to like-minded, God-fearing patriots. Okay, Pastor Hadian, we were talking during the break and we should have recorded it because it was just great stuff. But our nation is under attack. Amen.
Amen.
There was something we were talking about with the pastors, and that
pastors,
needs to be handled
yeah.
very delicately. This has got to be approached, you know, humbly. And But we have to speak the truth. And this is not a globalist boogeyman. This is a real threat. This right. is a real, true, doesn't have to be induced by the CIA. They're doing it right. on their own. They don't need any help. Although, right. you know, whatever secret dark stuff's going on, you know, right. fine. But we got to focus on what we can focus on. You want to take some calls now? We have some people that have been waiting very patient.
Let's do it. Sure.
We've got Doug in Grants Pass, Oregon. Thank you, sir, for listening. You are on Radio Free Redoubt.
Hi, John. This is Doug. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you. Thanks for being the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I appreciate it.
I feel like it. But it's not just me. I mean, I'm crying, but I'm not alone.
I know. Yeah, I just wanted to say that... I agree with everything you guys are saying. I spent 24 years in the California prison system as a guard. Most of my time was at Pelican Bay and then Folsom Prison. In the mid to early 90s, Islam started to become a religion inside the prison walls. And all it was a gang to perpetuate violence. That is a breeding ground for Muslim activity that has gone unnoticed, that people don't take care of. And they do that under the guise of freedom of religion. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. The Nation of Islam rose up inside that. They had meetings in chapels, which I was not allowed to go in because I was an infidel. So they could have top secret meetings. They planned murders against staff inside the chapels.
Yeah.
And this is an area that it's forgotten, and it's all it does is breed a gang. It is not a religion.
You're dead on. You're absolutely right. There's a book by Dr. Hammond called Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam. Right now in the United States, we were just under 2% of Islamic people in this country, Muslims. When a country reaches 2 to 5%, they begin to convert from ethnic minorities and other disaffected groups, including prisons, often with major recruiting that happens in the prisons. And we're seeing aggressive recruiting among the blacks and the black population and the prison populations in America. I mean, you could follow this. It's like a recipe. I mean, you add all the right ingredients at the right time, you're going to get the very predictable results. And you're dead
on. Definitely. Yeah, it is totally a militant thing. And for some reason, yes, the black population gravitated towards that. But what they would do is they would recruit from existing gangs, the Crips and Bloods and the Black Guerrilla Family. They would recruit from their gangs and bring them into the NOI. And the NOI is nothing but a big guardianship for their top guys. That's all it is, the Nation of Islam.
Pastor Haiti.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, Pastor Haydian, are you aware of any ministries from that perspective that's really trying to rescue these guys from Islam in the prison systems, on prison ministries?
This is exactly, first of all, I so appreciate Doug bringing this to the listeners, because this is something that I've talked about, that it is actually the number one recruiting. So the number one conversions that we see to Islam in America are in the prisons, and you mentioned among the black population, some of the Hispanic right. population, and it is a gang mentality, which is one of the things, by the way, you see in Europe with the enclaves, is that when they get the enclaves, they actually function like a gang mentality. It's tribalism.
Yeah.
It's a gang
yes.
mentality, and it goes back to the very roots of Islam, the way that their prophet functioned. But here's the problem with your question, John Jacob, as far as why we're not seeing ministry, is because, and Doug would probably know this, while they've been opening the door for these Muslim chaplains to come in and bringing Qurans into the prisons and allowing them to have their way, they've been banning Christian chaplains. They've been banning Christians from coming and ministering.
It's like the military.
You can't give a Bible. You can't. Is that true, Doug, or am I wrong?
That's true, because you're an infidel. You can't step inside there.
That's right. So therefore, it's hard to minister to them when the government bans one and opens the door for the other. So this is not an accident. This is intentional infiltration. It's one area of infiltration that is intentional to make them militant. And the gang members are perfect candidates, because Islam comes across as very structured, as very pious, and promises them this idea of of, you know, if you come in, there's a purpose for you. And so they're you know, they love to pull from militants, which is why you see even among the jihadists that they pull from that kind of background, is because it's a perfect fit. So now, so I know some are going to be out there saying, oh, well, that's just radical, that's just radicalization. No, it's a fundamental concept of Islam.
Yeah, it is.
Which is that You reach the disaffected, or those who are right outside of the mainstream aspect of society, particularly if they right don't have family, if they've been you know, abused, whatever, and you promise them that in Islam they're going to have this structure and this life and this piousness, and then you pull them in. And it's so difficult to pull them out. They need a radical conversion to Christ to really pull them out.
Yeah. I think the main reason is we recognize it as a religion, and then that
right
entitles them to all these freedoms. That's the problem. Back in the
exactly
late 90s, I wrote a 7-page confidential report based on all types of information that I had from several other sources that actually affected an entire statewide lockup in the state of California for the Nation of Islam of all the people that I had on a list. It lasted for like 6 months, and then it went to the courts, and the court said no. They struck it down and said, release these inmates back to the general population because they are a religion. And that's the problem right there.
Yeah.
That's.
But they act like act like the cartels.
Right. If I can just speak to that again, this is the main theme that we have to get across. We're going to have to hammer this informationally over and over and over again, that Islam is not a religion, but it is a constitution on itself that is totalitarian. And so it is we that are messing up because we're trying to separate. Oh, well, we want to just let them have their religion. But they cannot separate. I'll say it over and over. In the minds of the Muslim, it's a commandment for them. They don't have an option. If they follow Islam, they must follow the Sharia. The Sharia is their code. The Sharia is their law. And Sharia is a totality. It doesn't just tell you how to pray and how many times to pray. It tells you how to eat. It tells you how to go to the bathroom. It tells you how to kill. It
how to
tells
punish you, your wife.
Exactly. So the Sharia right is a totality. It's a system. And in their minds, they are not permitted to separate it. It's all or nothing. And
yeah,
until we grasp that, we are in a battle that we don't even know our enemy. We're in a battle that they've declared war on us and an ideology, and we don't even know our enemy. So, Doug, thank you for what you've been trying to expose. And, you know, it worries me, it concerns me, what we're going to be seeing coming out of our prisons, particularly under this administration. And by the way, one more thing, the Council on American Islamic Relations, who is the front group for the Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, they target the prisons. They go in there, they've been demanding for halal food for prisoners.
Yes.
We've seen this in some states like Ohio.
It's
where
the next stage.
Yeah, Doug, did you ever deal with that, with their food restrictions and with special
Ramadan
conditions for them?
Oh, yeah, for Ramadan, yeah.
Well, hey, Doug, I want to thank you so much for calling in. We got other callers waiting on the line, and we're running out of time.
I knew this hour
was going to go so fast, but God bless you for everything that you're doing, and definitely do it again. Great to hear from you.
All right, guys, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, I was going to say, according to this formula, which is very predictable and very true, and it holds true, is that at the 5% mark, they begin making demands disproportionate to their population. And halal food
yeah
is something you're going to start seeing in restaurants everywhere across America.
Yeah, and, yeah. And one quick point, JJ, on that book, and I'm very familiar with that book, there's one thing that is accelerating things in America that book doesn't address. And that is, what happens if you have a president that is aiding and abetting those agendas?
Yeah.
Because in Europe, they had useful idiots, so to speak, that term, useful idiots, they had members that were sympathetic. But if you have somebody at the top, and if you have the administration top, that is actually opening all the doors and allowing them all in, it's going to accelerate. So I've always made the point, whatever we've seen in their strategy before, it's happening faster in America.
Yeah.
So just note there that you know, things have happened so much faster than we thought. Honestly, I thought.
Can you
I didn't
smell
think
the,
it happened this
can,
fast.
Can you smell the treason in the air?
Yes.
It's treason.
Yes.
We got time
yes
for
treason. Very good.
We got
treason
probably one last call. Hopefully we can get, maybe we can squeeze two in. Phil.
We'll be-
Phil's on the line with us from California. Thank you, sir. Go ahead with your question for our guest.
I just wanted to call in and thank you, John Jacob, and thank you, Pastor Hadian, for all you guys are doing. You know, there's a lot of folks like me in, I guess, as you guys say, occupied territory. And thank you for letting us know we're not alone.
Thank you. Let me ask you something, Phil. You're there and I'm not. Yeah. So maybe I'm mislabeling. From your perspective, do you feel like you're in occupied territory?
As far as the legal system goes, absolutely. There's pockets of people who are not so liberal, like where I live.
Yeah.
I live in the Central Valley in Ripon, and it's a very conservative area.
Yes.
You know, concealed weapon permits here are very simple to get. You know, there's a church on every corner, but it's definitely occupied territory. In fact,
you're surrounded on all sides.
Yeah. Within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be coming up to Idaho, Montana to check it out and hopefully make the move soon. So
good. Well, Godspeed to you in your endeavors there.
Well, I appreciate it. I certainly appreciate it. And thank you for encouraging everybody to get their comms up. So mine will be finished here shortly.
Yes, sir. Good.
Thank you guys very much. I'll let you go. And Godspeed to you. Keep it up.
Likewise.
Lord bless you.
There are people that are moving here because, you know, I've talked to several people from these conservative pockets in California and elsewhere that they're like, you know, it's kind of like when you leave the garden hose on and the water just starts permeating all through the lawn. There's these little islands kind of sticking up, but you can see them.
Right.
It's closing in. It's a matter of time for it's going to be submerged. It's going to be, you know, swallowed up in it. So why wait? Why leave as a refugee? Why don't you leave when, you know, when you can call the shots? Well, we just got about just 1 minute, Pastor Hadian. I knew the time was going to fly. And do you have any parting shots for our audience?
Well, just that, you know, again, I always encourage, first and foremost, this is a spiritual battle we're in because we have to pray and really seek God on what he wants us to do. The biggest thing for us as God-fearing patriots is to stand with him, stand with his principles, our founding principles. These are hard days. These are hard decisions. These are hard conversations, but we have to stand on the side of truth in love and know that these threats that we face are there. Because by our, you know, really by our own hands, we can turn from them. But while we're standing, we must resist. We must resist evil. We must resist unrighteousness.
Okay.
Thank you for your stance. I'm so.
Can you get your website out there real quick before we close up? Because it's going to close us up. We don't have a choice.
You got, I'm sorry. What would you say?
Your website. Get your information.
Oh,
out
website.
There.
Yeah, our website is www.tilproject.com. The letter TIL, which stands for Truth and Love. The word project.com. Send us an email. Visit us. We're in the area there. Come and see us. And you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. The Lord has been gracious to us, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
May Lord bless this show and get it far and wide out there.
There you go. All right, guys, that wraps up another one. Thank you so much for being with us. Join us tomorrow night on RadioFreeReadout.com for the podcast. I am John Jacob Schmidt.